Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us today. We certainly appreciate your ears as we try to bring you the very latest of what's going on in and around Fairbanks. Fairbanks. Oh, boy, is that a Freudian slip. I only lived there for 20 years, folks. I'm back. Going on around Grants Pass, and there are other reasons for that Freudian slip, but we won't even deal with those right now. In the meantime, if you have a question or comment for our guest today, the number to call, if you want to jot it down now, is 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. And we ask that you hold those phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, though, we have lots of guests in studio right now to get caught up with. I'm going to start right here in the middle with Jason Kennedy. Jason, Public Works Director here. We've got the fire chief and Shelley, what area?
Streets and storm drains.
Streets and storm drains. Okay, so we've got a lot to talk about today. Jason, you want to start us off here? Because I'm really quite frankly surprised. I expected Mr. Kubik to talk about the meeting coming up tonight, and we'll deal with that a little bit later. But in the meantime, what's our topic today?
You name it. We're here to talk about whatever you would like. We'd like to go over a few capital projects, of course.
What are you interfering in my life with?
I know. somebody's got to.
Yeah.
We wanted to give you an update on a few capital projects, a few things coming up on the council agenda. You know, brought along Shelley to talk about stormwater, which is really, really important this time of year, especially late fall. And then we also brought along Chief Jimmy Sanchez to
introduce him to our folks. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Let's just go to our new fire chief, Jimmy Sanchez. Welcome to the microphones of KAJO Radio. Glad to have you with us here. Give us a little bit of your background here. How did you achieve this position, and where do you come from, Jimmy?
Well, good morning. Good morning to all the listeners here. I'm happy to be here. Happy to be here with this awesome team, the executive team that they brought me on. I have been doing this career-wise for almost 20 years now. I started even before I was 18. I'm a second-generation firefighter. Grew up on the training ground with my dad, the fire training ground as well as with my dad, and I love this career. I have AS in Emergency Medical Services, bachelor's in Disaster and Emergency Management, graduated magna cum laude, a master's in Disaster and Emergency Management, and currently a PhD student. Currently for in Nova Southeastern University. Go Sharks. I don't know if that's a good thing over here, but we are a Duck fan.
You just saved yourself.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Wonderful story about that. The doctor that took care of my children, it was a graduated from the Ducks, and he sat there and got me rooting for the Ducks every day while he sat there with us and helped save our children. So we love the Ducks. But this family here, everybody that brought us here, the executive team, been doing this as a career, went through the ranks. And by the grace of God, I happened to end up here with this wonderful group of firefighters and the public works director and the X team and the leadership after a long process, extensive process, and growing our career and hoping to be a part of this community and serve in any way possible. That's what I'm here for. So excited to be here.
All right. We have some specific questions for you about the fire department. But let's move on first and see how Jason Kennedy is going to uproot our lives here.
Yeah.
let's talk about some of those things, okay. Situations coming up right now. Or should we go to Shelley and talk about the leaves and the drainage here?
Let's go ahead and ease into that.
Let's talk
about a big stormwater project, though, and that is the 5th Street Stormwater and Sewer Replacement Project. We've been talking about that for a little while, and this is essentially going to replace the stormwater piping and sewer piping from G Street all the way to the river on 5th Street. And as you can imagine, that is going to be reasonably disruptive to those residents that live along it or those folks that use that as a route to get back and forth.
And when's that starting?
We're going to be going out to bid November 21st.
Okay.
And that means construction is likely to start late winter, early spring. So probably after the new year.
All right. So plan ahead for that. And when I'm planning ahead, what am I planning for, and how long is it going to take?
Yeah,
and
we're hoping to finish by midsummer. We want to get that all done in one season. So basically we'll be posting periodic and routine block closures. So likely what we're going to do is allow the contractor to close the project block by block, which will allow them to really work more freely and faster, as opposed to trying to flag people around the construction zone.
All right. So we're talking 5th Street, G Street going south?
G G Street. We'll probably actually start south and work our way to the north.
Okay.
Because we're making all the pipes bigger. We don't want to make them bigger on the front end and not on the tail end.
Sadly, that makes sense, but you're in the government. Is that supposed to happen that way? I'm sorry. That was a low blow, and I just – you throw me a softball, I'm going to try and hit it.
I know. We just lobbed it in there.
Yeah.
But we're also incorporating, I believe, water quality features into that project to help try to clean the water up. It'll be placed right before the water goes into the Rogue River.
All right. How is that worth it? You're improving the water quality that way, and Shelley, jump in here, Shelley.
Hi there. So we fall under the MS4 permit.
A little closer there, Shelley. Could move in.
We fall under the MS4 permit, so mm-hmm. we try to follow those standards. And one of those obligations that the city has is to maintain the water quality before it hits the Rogue River or any moving water body. And so that water quality will catch, hopefully, most of anything that we've missed doing our regular vacuuming, and we will be able to suck out all the leaves or any kind of water bottles or clothing items, anything like that, by it settling in the bottom of this water quality feature.
All right. You just threw some things at me here that I've got to ask about. Mm-hmm. What all do you have coming down there? You mentioned water bottles, clothing coming down there. And when we talk about water quality, we're talking about the quality going back into the Rogue.
Correct.
Okay. With this particular situation. Mm-hmm. So water bottles?
Well, if you can think about it, it's anything that ends up on your streets can get washed down a storm drain.
Okay, anything will fit down the storm drain.
Yep, absolutely. And you'd be amazed at what can fit down the storm drains.
No, with enough water pressure behind it, I certainly understand. Yeah. So is this an ongoing situation where you have to clean those out on a regular basis?
We clean them out annually, yes.
Only annually?
Well, they're confined space. You have to actually go down into these. They're pretty deep. Mm-hmm. And, yes, annually seems to do it. That is why it's deep, and it has like a settling compartment in the bottom of it so that the heavier will settle down, and then the water, as it fills, just the water.
Water will go past,
yes.
And all of the debris will be caught in the lower portions.
Correct.
But all in right. addition to that, the teams are continually cleaning like all the catch basins and the pipes as well, because the catch basins also serve as mini water quality features. They've all got a settling, most of them, let me rephrase that, most of them have a settling component, which allows sediment and trash to settle out and not make it into the pipes.
All right. So early spring, we can expect this project to begin mm-hmm. on 5th Street, probably closer to the river and working up towards G Street.
Yep.
One block at a time. Do we have an estimate on how much time it will take one block?
We don't at this juncture. You know, they have quite a bit of work to do, and you're replacing a pipe in kind. So you take one out, put one in. It's not like they can run concurrently. We're going to recommend everybody do, sign up for our e-notifies on the Grants Pass website, because that's where we're going to be pushing out regular notices of which blocks will be closed at what time during what weeks.
How much residential impact will this have? Because I'm just going down 5th Street here and thinking, well, there's not a lot of residents along here, a lot of businesses, though. So what kind of impact are we talking
about? Business related. We're going to make sure and try and keep all the businesses open. Most of the businesses do have access off of the alleys, which will help out quite a bit. But blocks will be their primary entrance, may or may not be blocked for short periods of time.
Okay, so when this project is going on, probably not traffic through there at all.
None at all.
It's
very likely that we're going to have to close a block at a time. Because they're doing two pipes at once, the amount of excavation is going to be pretty impressive.
Impressive. Okay. That's his word, folks. Okay. Devastating if you're trying to live through it.
It's going to be a pretty big hole.
A big hole. All right. What else do you have planned for my life?
So Riverside Waterline, this is another – it seems like a small project, but it's going to have a lot of local impact. This one is going to be just extensively or primarily residential, and it's replacing Riverside Avenue from 8th to 9th Street. And it's where we had a water main break last year. But the asphalt is gone. So they're going to get in there, replace that street section, as well as do some ADA upgrades to the adjacent
curbing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right.
And then the last one that I want to talk about today is Allen Creek Road. How long have we been talking about this project?
years.
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 So the project has gone to bid. A contractor is in the process of being selected for that, and construction is going to begin early spring.
Okay.
It's actually going to be built. I'm positive.
You're positive. Okay. Yes. Next time we have you in here, you know, we're going to ask that.
Well, as long as it's after spring and they've started construction, we'll be good. But yeah, the bids came in actually lower than the engineer's estimate, so they were very encouraged by that. And they should be with full construction throughout the summer.
Okay, so that's one to keep an eye on right now. Yeah. That's coming. Actually, everything good will start in the spring, early spring.
Yeah, that's really that construction window. You want to start getting in the ground. That way you can build through the summer months with little or no rainfall.
All right. What is your situation now with the fall situation here? When I say fall, I think we're talking about leaves.
Yeah. That's really one of our primary concerns, as you know. We're Tree City, USA. We have gorgeous trees
everywhere. It has been gorgeous here. Yes.
It's been a beautiful fall. Yes. Like, great color changes. But those leaves are problematic. So brought Shelley along to kind of talk about some of the problems that those leaves create, some of the ways in which we help deal with those, and what residents can do or should be doing about the leaves that are falling in their yards and in their streets.
All right, we're going to throw Shelley under the bus here again, aren't we? All right. Shelley, the first thing I know is I shouldn't be blowing my leaves out into the street. That's illegal, correct?
That's against the code.
That's against the code. Okay.
And it's very, very... Everyone thinks that's what the street sweeper's for. It's not.
No.
It actually clogs it up.
I know a street sweeper. He's pulling his hair out right now.
Yes, he really is, especially when they get so deep. We receive phone calls. My street was swept, you know, but he went around my frontage. And that is because if you've blown your leaves in the street and they're a few inches deep, it cannot be picked up.
Right. So. All right. If I do that, what am I subject to? Is it just complaint-driven? Are we going out and writing tickets? What's the situation?
Code enforcement has been doing a really good job of going out and meeting with residents. We like to work with you at, you know, first round, give you your options, tell you how you could properly dispose of those leaves. We do have the haulers coming every week. They are taking the leaf garden waste. Weekly
now.
October 4th, I believe, to December 13th. Or no, November 4th through December 13th is that range. Otherwise,
so instead of every other week, I can put it out
every week for 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then
the bad thing is willful and repeated is what I'm hearing. Okay.
Yes. But yeah, we prefer to work with you at first.
Okay. But second and third time.
There is monetary, yes.
There could be monetary ramifications. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right.
We've all seen it, too. The leaves build up on the streets, and then we get a big rainfall like we're expecting over the next couple of days, and those leaves wash down, and they plug up the catch basin, so the catch basin's not able to do the job that it was intended to do, and that water ends up just cascading farther downstream. And it can cause localized flooding or cause it to jump curbs and go down into people's houses. It takes all of us to do this job, so you know, we're really asking the residents to be courteous with their leaf pickup.
Okay. Yes. All right. We're going to take a little pause, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after this important message. Welcome back, everyone. We have a strange crew here. That is certainly obvious. Santa's grab bag coming up here. And don't forget, coming up, I think, on December 7th is going to be KJO Kids Day here. So save your pennies and dimes for that one. In the meantime, we have some of the city staff here, Jason Kennedy, Jimmy Martinez, another young lady here. I'm sorry.
Shelley
Crowley. Bad with names in this business. You're kidding me. We're talking about public works and fire. Anything else that you're going to upset my life with here, Mr. Kennedy?
You know, I'd like to think that we do more projects than upset people with getting them to drive around diversions.
Do appreciate you getting all of that wastewater out of the way, and I know that you're extremely busy planning ahead for some big construction projects coming in the spring.
We have quite a few, actually, yeah.
You're just fun to make.
I know. That's what I'm here for. It makes people smile.
We appreciate that.
So Meadowood Reservoir, we've been working on that one for a while. People can actually go to our website at grantspassoregon.gov. Go to our capital project page, and they can watch that being constructed live. The image refreshes every 5 minutes, and that's going really good. They did the first wall pour, which is pretty impressive. When you're building a reservoir, it's a 30-foot tank. They actually pour the walls sections in 30-foot segments. So you pour a 30-foot segment of wall.
And you can watch it happen,
huh? You can watch it happen.
Wow.
Almost live. It's it refreshes every 5 minutes. It's pretty cool.
All right.
And that is going to really provide a service level boost to all of the folks over here in the I get this.
You can't point. We're on the radio.
I know the north. It's the northeast. Thank you, Sheldon.
Okay.
Horrible with directions. I have to put my back to the river to get it right.
Okay.
Actually, it'd be the southeast, wouldn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, southeast.
The southeast section where
absolutely.
All those new homes are going in. We certainly appreciate that.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to jump back over here to our new fire chief, Mr. Sanchez. Jimmy, with what Mr. What Jason has laid out for you here is that one of the major thoroughfares in downtown Grants Pass is going to be closed off a section of time. How does that affect your planning as fire chief?
So one of the great things that we all do together on the X team and this whole department is that we all work well together. Like as this morning as well, we got notified that they're going to be going down into some confined space areas as well. So our teams plan for that. We plan that we know exactly where they're going below grade, underground, in those hazardous areas to take care of the city. So when the thoroughfares are blocked too, our teams, we meet every morning. There's a duty officer or all of the, not just Grants Pass, but our mutual aid partners. And we discuss exactly how we're going to respond that day based off of anything that could impede us from our general routes to a wildfire threat to a weather event that's coming. And that's discussed every morning with our battalion chiefs and our duty officers to make sure that we're all on the same page. So that's something that we do regularly. We practice. We're even planning for future events like the Christmas tree lighting. That's coming up that I know everybody loves around here. We're planning for that as well and how we're going to respond because of the road shutdowns. And then even when Boatnik comes up and stuff, we discuss exactly how routes we're going to get through with police, fire, and all of our stakeholders in that process. So that's something that we actually are passionate about and we look forward to doing because it's something that all of us sit around the table while drinking some coffee in the morning and discussing a lot of leaves and some occasional fines that come from other departments. We try to go out there and pass out some firefighter hats and stickers and have a good time with that too while we're doing that.
All right. I understand. So you're not surprised when you come around a corner and see a road closed sign?
No, we're never surprised. The communication in this city and with the directors and the entire city department is excellent, including with PD. And then not only that, we're out there. We have some of my inspectors. Again, shout out to Michael as well. He's out there every day too, driving around. And when we are on the ground and the guys are driving the engines and doing driving training and stuff, they'll update. We have a system. We use technology with our first two system that helps route us. We can update that as well. We have boards that in every one of our stations and in our rooms that constantly change. I think it's every 30 seconds. Don't correct me on the seconds, but the announcements for that day. So while you're sitting in any room in the station, the board changes and says, hey, this road's closed. Or we have guys going in confined space. Our city service workers are going in a confined space today, and we're going to be updating those boards and letting them know, hey, these are some of the target hazards we need to watch out for, stuff we can help around in the community. So we're very informed, and we make sure that we keep those things up to date.
So when Jason's crews are going into confined spaces, going down into these things, mm-hmm. you're aware of that in case your department has to execute rescues? So you're trained not just to fight fires, but to do lots of different things.
Yes. Yeah, so one of the awesome things about all of our professionals here is they wear multiple hats. And if I could, I can't speak higher of the men and women that serve this city, is that they are not only fire certified, they are high angle rescue certified. Actually, when I first got here, I want to highlight, we have a brand new Swiftwater rescue boat, our little small rigid hull inflatable, that we are able.
We had news on that. Yes.
Yes. That was donated by a wonderful donor. And then the team put it together. The city manager, Aaron, had a huge part in getting that as well. So I have to give them credit. And we are able to now respond to all hazards within the river. There've been multiple training. They threw me in the water for 3 days in the Rogue. It was wonderful. I got the wetsuit. They got the dry suits. I don't know how that worked out for the fire chief, but it was nice and cold. It was wonderful. So Swiftwater rescue training.
Is that a tradition for new chiefs?
I think it was a tradition for me.
Now we have
yes.
one.
To dunk me in the ice cold water. It was the training was great. We went all the way down into the rapids, swimming and doing rescues. Actually, the first day the boat was on the water, when we were doing training, the guys had their first rescue with someone that fell out of a kayak, was unable to get in, and the water was pushing them down. So they already had a rescue immediately. They've had more than that, but that's how much of a blessing that's been for the city and everybody around here. They're EMS certified. We have paramedics down to EMTs, and they respond to the calls, especially when there's Medic Zero within our city. They pick up all of that, and they're there. And they run from everything from confined space training down through even helping out with somebody that had a water leak this past weekend, and these guys went in and shut the water off for them so the water stopped flooding their house. So it's not just the cats in the trees that everybody likes to talk about with us. These guys literally do everything. And if I could highlight one thing about them that is very unusual that a lot of this community I don't think knows, is that they take their money, their hard-earned money, the union does. This isn't the city taxpayer money. And for instance, somebody that suffered a house fire recently, I showed up as the new fire chief. And I walk up and they're handing this guy a gift card. He just suffered horrible loss, lost his whole home. And they're handing him a gift card. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's really nice. And that's awesome. The city does this. And like, no, that's from them. Not only that, they put him up in a hotel. They have a separate fund that they take out. They put him up in a hotel for 2 nights, a couple $100 in gift cards that they gave. And they help out the community out of their own pockets. They had a fundraiser for Operation Warm for the Children the other day that they partnered with one of the businesses, Weekend Brewery. And they did that as well. So this group of professionals in this city and the X team and Aaron, what he's been able to put together, and the directors, it's just a blessing for me to be here. And that's why I wanted to speak about that with them and just bring that to the community's attention, what they're doing with their hard-earned money that they're donating back to the community.
Another question, and it's probably more of a clarification for a lot of people out there who see an incident, a car crash, for instance,
yes,
where there's no fire involved here, but they roll a fire truck too.
Mm-hmm.
I think what the people might not realize is most of you are EMS certified and you carry oxygen with you.
Yes.
So that's the reason for those fire trucks to roll also to those areas. Mm-hmm.
So our guys are trained in EMS as well. We have from EMT base to we have paramedics as well. And they show up on every call that they're, so they don't just show up to fire. They don't just show up to the wildfire season that's popular around here that everybody knows about. They show up and they will stabilize the patient, treat the patient, and prepare them for transport in order for an ambulance when the ambulance does show up. And they will make sure they provide the same level of care as the ambulance has with the ALS capabilities of some of my paramedics, and we're increasing that every year. So when you see the fire trucks rolling, they're not always going to a fire. They can be going to a car accident. They can go into a chest pain, to a stroke, to any kind of medical emergency to stabilize that patient and treat them.
All right. We're going to delve into that a little bit more in the next half hour. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We've got Jason Kennedy and Shelley here from Public Works, and Jimmy Sanchez, our new fire chief here. So lots to come right here on KAJO Radio. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show, and we'll continue after news at the top of the hour. Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Ladies and gentlemen, the phone lines are open. The number to call, 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today from the city of Grants Pass, we have our new fire chief, Jimmy Sanchez, Public Works Director Jason Kennedy, and Shelley are all here keeping us up to date on what is going on in and around our community. And Jason, let's start with you this time because I know you've got a big project coming up in the spring, and that's the building of the water treatment plant and how that's going to affect a lot of things. First of all, how do we know how it's going to affect the J Street campground that is going on right now, or is that out of your bailiwick, and are we looking at a different spot for that, and how soon will that happen? All of those questions.
Wow. I'm not sure I can answer all of those questions.
Can you answer any one of them? Just give us a
direction.
Some of
it is definitely outside. That is a council decision. Yeah. They are meeting on Monday, November 18th, and one of the primary discussion items is resting place discussion. Council has made it pretty clear that they understand that the J Street location has to be a temporary location. Our goal is to move forward with construction in the spring. So with that means that those campers have to be
somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
All right. Do we have a targeted start date in the spring?
We do not. So what we have coming up on the water treatment plant is on December 2nd, we're going to have a long workshop with the city council, which will lay out where we're at with the project, where we are at with the costs of the project, where we are at with all the financing on the project. That will then allow council to decide whether or not they want to make a decision to keep going or to hit pause just a little bit. And that pause would be just to understand better the cost implications and some of the financing pieces that are still out.
Have we nailed down a final cost yet?
No. But that's part of the December 2nd workshop. We will have a final cost for everything except for the intake structure. And the reason that the intake structure has been excluded up to this point is we are waiting for FEMA, who is the financiers of the BRIC grant that we are in the process of acquiring, to say, here's what you have to do at that location. So the existing water treatment plant site is within the 500-year floodplain. Part of the grant is to mitigate that flood potential. So that means that we might have to build the intake structure up higher to ensure that it's out of the 500-year floodway. So we're waiting on some of those things. So we've excluded those portions from the original design. On December 2nd, we will be presenting the actual cost of the water treatment plant less that component.
Can you give us a ballpark and an area of cost?
So the number that we've been presenting now for the last 8-10 months, longer than that, is about $123 million, and that would be a fully loaded cost. We're still in that ballpark. I think it'll come in a little bit higher than that based on where we've seen the bids, but we're still in that $123 million.
And anyway, we're looking for some significant grants to help soften that blow a little.
We are relying on significant grants to help soften that blow. I will say we did just close loans slash grants on another $7 million. Roughly $3 million of that was grant, $4 million in loans from Business Oregon, which was great. But we are relying on the FEMA BRIC grant as a significant component of our financing plan. That is about a $50 million grant through the Federal Hazard Mitigation Program.
All right, we'll know all of this in early December.
December 2nd. We have got a very long workshop. In fact, it's like 5 or 6 stars, which is 50 or 60 minutes of just me talking. And then council will take over that discussion from that point.
All right, I'll warn our newsroom at any rate. Now, when all of this comes together, and we know we don't have a hard date in the spring yet, what are the factors that are going to help nail down that date? Is it rain? Is it weather? Or is it all political?
At this juncture, it really is the determination, do we have all the financing in place? Are we secure with the dollars? You know, that really is the bottom line. If we are secure with the dollars, the contractor can build throughout the winter. It's really not an issue for them. That we targeted the spring because that's just when we feel that we would be through all of the council processes. We would have all the contracts back and forth. As you can imagine, the contract for the construction of a water treatment plant is large and very complicated, and there's a lot of negotiation.
This is probably the largest situation for the city of Grants Pass ever?
It is the single largest project for the city of Grants Pass ever.
Ever.
Financially.
Okay. All right. Well, man, you're on the hot seat for that. We certainly appreciate your candor here.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to move back over to your, Chief Sanchez here. I want to call you Jimmy. You seem like a friendly guy, and Jimmy seems to work.
That's okay. Go ahead.
All right. What is the status of the Grants Pass Fire Department right now in terms of where it needs to be or where you'd like to see it?
So one of the great things about the Grants Pass Fire Department is that recently Chief Hensman did a wonderful job beforehand. The police chief, when it was a public safety agency, did a great job. But now I would say that we have a bright future because we have separated. I know that separated back in 2021 and they began that process. But separate, we have fire chief. So the future looks bright. We've been working together with the X team. We do have some challenges. We are going to be in need of personnel. And so we are hiring firefighters right now, which is awesome. We are about to fly for battalion chief's exam too to promote within, which is going to be a great opportunity for those of our members. We also need some SCBAs, which is our self-contained breathing apparatus, which is a very expensive item, but super important. So in order for our professionals to go into those fires and confined space, even to work and rescue those in those areas, they need to have like some examples like scuba diving, breathing underwater, but us breathing in those hazardous atmospheres. They're from 2007. So they are
extended past their extended life. They're expired in some cases, and it's we can't even get parts for them. So we're working to purchase those. We do have some exciting opportunities as well, though. We have two brand new engines from our expired old engines that are coming out, our fire trucks that are coming in soon. We worked great with Public Works to get that taken care of. The teamwork, again, is just tremendous. And then we have a new UTV coming in, which is our all utility vehicle that's coming. So the state of the fire department, I think, is very good. The future is bright. And that will be used for wildland firefighting and our parades to go get for Boatnik, as an example, to be around and be present and to transport people in and out when those, for instance, as you said, when things are shut down, we'll be able to access those roads. And even when Dollar Mountain comes into play, we're going to be able to use that as a vehicle to rescue, not just the wildfire, but to move people in and out where we need them for search and rescue. So as we grow and as the city grows, I think that's always a challenge in public safety. But with this team and with the ground that's been laid, I'm confident that we have a bright future, and I'm excited for it. I really am.
All right, let's look ahead just a little bit, because you mentioned that you're hiring firefighters. So let's talk about the budgetary process. And the last I heard is that when we roll an engine, our crews are about one man short every time they go out. Is that still the status, and is that what we're correcting?
So currently, we're working with the budgetary. Obviously, there's always budgetary constraints. But yes, in terms of we would love to have more to respond safely and keep our guys safe. So yes, we do have two on an engine right now. Due to the staffing and time off and the levels that we're at, it's two minimum. And that's generally where we're at. We do get to have three at Parkway, and we're trying to keep that as a staffing. But if we could get to three across the board, that would be wonderful. And that's what we're shooting for. The standard is, you know, you can date four when you're quoting NFPA 1710, which everybody loves. But we're working through that to increase our staffing from a budgetary standpoint, but that requires us working with the community, working with the X team, working with the council members to do that as a group and as a team and doing that responsibly. And that's one of the reasons why I'm here as well, to make sure that we're using the taxpayers to the best of our ability, the taxpayer dollars to the best of our ability. And we're doing that from everything from what these guys do, donating their own money to put people up in hotels, to even to our engines. We're going through that with a fine tooth comb, our new ones, to make sure that it's exactly what we need, but not the extras. And that's the exciting part. And then we're using that to raise our personnel with the new plans that we're putting together over the next 3 to 5 years.
Now, you mentioned that your crews, your personnel, I think through the union is making these extra dollars available for the fire victims in that situation. Are we working hand in hand with that organization?
Yes, we are working hand in hand. I have a great relationship with them. And they've been, we've been in the office a lot. We've been talking a lot. And then with that teamwork, cause I'm a stakeholders guy in emergency management, and taking that with the teamwork, all of us sitting at the table coming up with those solutions. You know, we all have challenges every day that we have to deal with, but putting all of our heads together and coming up with those solutions in the future and drawing out the plans. And we're actually the newest thing, I think, for them and for us, is I'm putting the numbers and the facts on the table, and then we're able to delineate those and make sure that, hey, we don't necessarily need this particular T-shirt as an example, but we can get it here instead of paying $36 for it, we can pay $6.49 through it for a government contract. So we're doing that, and then using that money to redirect it towards the necessities of our department and increasing our personnel, and then purchasing these SCBAs, which is going to be a big project, a capital project. We're going to be starting very shortly because we need those.
All right. You said that part of your staff right now is going out with a staff of three. Pardon me?
At one station, yes.
When
we can. That's what the goal is, to get three at all the stations. Yes.
Okay. What's it going to take in order for that to happen?
It's the challenge of every government agency, right? It's going to take finance.
More money.
It's going to take money, yes. That is the challenge of every finance, every agency. I know that we're all hurting at public safety, but that is going to take what is needed to get to that, to make sure that we're able to respond in an all-hazard environment. They're doing a great job what they have. They have picked up the gap. Our personnel, though, I mean, the latest numbers that I ran, they're averaging about 130 hours of overtime just to fill the vacancies already in the first quarter and 34% of the fiscal year. So these guys are working hard. They're supposed to be working 48 hours, 96, you know, 4 days on, 2 days on, 4 days off. However, these guys, some of them are working 72 hours straight, 96 hours straight if it's approved, just to fill the holes that we have in the vacancies. So there is a point where we're going to be discussing as a team and as the stakeholders of this city to add those personnel so that these guys can have that work-life balance to be able to take care of their families and their children as we raise in this wonderful community, as they raise them and they're involved in everything from the churches to our schools. So,
yeah, let me see if I understand that correctly. So we have funded vacancies that we can't fill, and we're still hiring people. Is there a reason for that, or are we on a competitive situation with all of the other communities or competing for qualified firefighters? What is the situation there?
So we do have – currently we have a vacancy that we are filling. We are working to fill that. So not mm-hmm. that we can't fill. We're working through the process. There's just the standard, you know, when people move on to bigger and better things or wherever their family leads them, we are filling a vacancy. Now, we are going to be pursuing with the city and with the council and the X team to get more personnel to increase our personnel for vacancy. So there is no current line item or FTE additional right now. We're going to be seeking to get a new full-time positions.
All right. Well, best of luck to you there. Don't go away. We've got more to come as you're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here. We're going to take a little pause. We'll be right back.
It's sweater weather. And
welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. If you have a question or comment for either of our guests, it's 541-472-1270. We've got our new fire chief on board, and I've really just been putting him on the hot seat here. Just a couple more questions. Tell me about your personnel right there, and I know you're very proud of them and the professionalism and some of the things that they do, and I'm not sure that everybody understands everything that that a fireman does. And one thing we see come through weekly on the city manager's report is lift assists.
Yes. So they do everything from literally, like I said earlier, if the 911 was called the other day, I was listening, and they go help shut off the water for people that don't know how to shut off the water that's leaking inside their house, to the lift assist. That is a big thing that they do as a community service. This is your taxpayer dollars at work. Unfortunately, as things happen in your life or as people deal with certain ailments, there's sometimes where they fall down and they can't get up and they need the help. So our professionals in the city will show up. They get a 911 call and they go and they help lift them. They help get them situated and get them, if they need any further care, they're there as well with ALS, advanced life support, basic life support in terms of medical care, and they provide that on a daily basis and nightly, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, that they are there for you and they respond to those calls.
If you fall and can't get up, call 911.
Yes, we like to say that there's programs too that we help to set you up with as well, because the way that it works is, obviously, if we're on a structure fire or we're on a major car accident rollover, the time's going to be a little bit longer because we're dealing with something, especially we don't want anybody to be injured or falling down or get, you know, seriously hurt. But there is things that we will try and set you up with and set you up with the care if you are falling down more at home. So we have this community outreach and those contacts as well that we can take care of you, not just lifting you up and getting you back into bed or into the chair. So we'll direct you in those directions for further care and help.
What else do people need to know about the fire department that they might not know?
That not these guys are they're working, they have families, and that they are there from, you know, morning till night. And one thing that they do very well is they are constantly training. So they're training for the changing environment of the river. Like, we have the new boat with the Swiftwater Rescue training, to not just fires. Everybody thinks we just fight fires. To the EMS training. We sat with EMS the other day, getting the new technology to transport to even IO drills, which is a drill that if we can't get an IV on somebody that's dealing with certain ailments or going through chemo, for instance, their veins are harder to get. Well, we have that's been out for a while, but these guys are even able to give intraosseous fluids and drill into the bone and use that as a life-saving measure as well, which some people they get a little scared about, but it's a last chance.
I just got a chill.
from intubating. So they show up even before AMR gets there sometimes. A lot of times, actually, our guys are really quick out the door, and they'll get there for your ambulance service, and they will take care of you just as good as they fight fire. They car accidents. They trained. We the other day, I got my brand new boots dirty already when we had a car accident the other day that they needed to do extrication on, and I got to go out there and see them hard at work, and we were standing in the mud, and they'll cut you out and get you out safely and get you on the road to the hospital. So from everything under the sun you can think of, we're an all hazard agency. So if there's a chemical spill, we'll stabilize the scene and get it ready for a hazmat to show up, all the way to
We will give you a Band-Aid and a sticker and a hat, and we go to the schools. We served food at Riverside the other day to the families that showed up, and that was an awesome experience, community event, to handing out candy. They were out all in the community driving around. We ran out of candy. I might get a little bit in trouble. I bought a lot of candy for the community. Well, so
you didn't bring me a Snickers.
So it was great. We handed out. The kids loved it. And we had an open house the other day that these guys put on. They come in and we cooked hot dogs and everybody gets to come in. And so they really love this place. They want to see it thrive and they want to serve this community. That's what they do it for. And it's really evident in everything that they do and even from the money out of their own pockets. So I hope that the community understands that these guys are here for them and they show that in everything they do by action.
All right. Thank you very much, Jimmy Sanchez, the new fire chief here for the city of Grants Pass. Jason Kennedy, again, we know that there's lots of projects coming up here and we're dealing with leaves right now. Before we get away from here, and we've got about 4 or 5 minutes left here in the program, what do I really need to know about Public Works and what do I need to do to help?
www.grantspassoregon.gov.
Okay.
Sign up for our e-notify. Also, our street sweeping schedule. One of the biggest things that a homeowner can do to help us out with keeping our streets clean and protecting our waterways is to not park their street not park their car on the street on the day that they're scheduled to be swept. Because what that means is that street sweeper is going to have to drive around you, and we miss large areas of dirt in those gutter pans, which is where things are collecting. We publish a schedule. The contractor is amazing at keeping that schedule. When they say they're there on that day, they're there. So it's really important that if we can, please get all the cars off of the street on those days. And you can do that just by signing up for the e-notify on our website. And street sweeping is one of those great options that you can get notices of, and it'll let you know on when you're going to be swept.
All right, so that's sign up for the e-notice.
E-notifies.
E-notifies. And yep. If I'm not signed up, I can still go on the website and find out the schedule.
Absolutely. Or call us here at Public Works at 541-450-6110, and Susan will be glad to help point you in the right direction.
6110, 450-6110. And it's Susan who's going to, a real person. Susan will answer the phone.
A real person.
Susan will answer the phone
and help get you guys signed up.
All right. Shelley, is he doing everything right so far?
Yes.
Is he on point?
He is on point. The other thing I'd just like to remind everyone that those trees in the planter strips are semi-public right-of-way and the responsibility of the homeowner. And that runs from property line to property line along your frontage. And there are clearance codes. The height above the sidewalk should be a minimum of 8 feet clearance for pedestrians, and over any right-of-way or street access point, even the alleys, it's a minimum of 15th and height restriction clearance. And it is the responsibility of the homeowner. The city doesn't come through and cut that. If your tree is entangled in power lines or any kind of utility, it's the best to call the utility, and the utility will come and remove those branches that are entwined. That's not a good idea for you to cut. We also have a tree permit that is required if the caliper of the tree is greater than 2 inches, so that we don't have trees that end up dying from being over pruned. And yeah.
Parting shot here, projects coming up that I want to be aware of.
Again, springtime, you're going to want to watch for 5th Street stormwater.
Right.
That's going to really have the biggest impact. We're getting that done ahead of the Outlot Plaza work, which Bradley and his team are working diligently on, in addition to Public Works, who's handling the engineering behind that. But we're going to have block-by-block closures on that probably through spring through the end of summer. It's probably going to be the most disruptive project that is going to happen in town.
Ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank you very much, Shelley, Jason, and Jimmy. Well, it's been a very entertaining program, and I appreciate the candor and certainly the humor that we've been able to do about some very serious topics. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO.